This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Listen, man, Atlanta has always been good to me, you know, since my freshman year at LSU. So, you know, I love going up there and, making a player, too.
Back here on First Take, we're hoping to see that player, too, from Tyrann Mathieu, Saints safety. Said he likes going to Atlanta, you know, has had some good times since being an LSU Tiger up in those parts.
Yeah, let's kind of extend that lead, I would say. Right now, the Saints lead the all-time series 55-54, but if you ask the Falcons, they'll include that playoff game.
Right, of
and
sure.
And it'll be 55-55. So, real quick, we got a text on our text line here, Steve, and it's from 0198. It said, "What's up, crew? Dennis Allen needs to know when to use a zone defense. It was bad coaching at the end of the game." You bet, yeah, 100%. And so, I think Bobby had asked DA about that on the Saints Coaches Show this past Monday, and he didn't really give an answer about why he was doing that. And like the 3rd and 16 scenario, right, where they were trying to make sure that Dallas Goedert didn't get the ball, and then three players ran into each other, and Dallas Goedert gets a 61-yard gain down the field. So they kind of picked themselves, so to speak, which opened up such a gigantic space. That was just a defensive breakdown at the worst possible time. At the same time, yeah, I kind of agree with this texter that they should have probably been playing zone in that situation, but we kind of move on, right?
We're talking about defense, and I mentioned it obviously real quick in our injury update, but man, the importance, and I mean, not the importance, but the problems of not having a key guy on the field and, you know, around for you in DeMario Davis, it just seems massive going into this game too.
Yeah. Because you want to stop the Falcons rushing attack, and DeMario Davis is a dog and he'll get up and be physical. At the same time, like, you got Pete Warner there, you got, you know, Willie Gay ready to go. I don't think they made any elevations from the practice squad on defense.
Not defense, but they did elevated, Kyle Hurgle, right?
One of my favorite
offensive linemen.
One of my favorite interviews from this past offseason. Kyle Hurgle's such a dude. Like, he's such a guy. He's fantastic.
Football IQ seems to be very high with him, too, which you love. He just seems to kind of like eat, breathe, and sleep it kind of thing.
A UDFA that I was really hoping would make the team. He makes the practice squad, and now he gets elevated to the active roster because of injuries on the interior offensive line. Hoping for the best for him, man.
Next man up, like they say, of course, and we'll see what can if the young man gets some action today in this matchup against the Dirty Birds. And you going into the game, obviously you drop the game to the Philadelphia Eagles at home. Shake it off, bounce back. This one, as you mentioned, so much more important just because, you know, you're getting back into divisional play here, and it's tight already, you know, obviously. And the front load of this schedule, you're hit with NFC South opponents right out the gate. Going to have this game, then you go on the road in Kansas City next week, but then, bam, you're right back at it again, too, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we know Tampa's 2-1, Saints are 2-1, Falcons 1-2 right now. Panthers also 1-2 after getting their first victory. The Andy Dalton-led Carolina Kitty Cats able to survive there. But right now against the Falcons, man, oh man, you know that this is just a rivalry matchup that people are so keyed in on.
So real quick, this is a stat that Schefter just put out about Andy Dalton, just because it's a fun little note. Strange but true, since the Bengals cut Andy Dalton, he's played for four different NFC teams, and each time he started a game against his former Bengals. He started for the Cowboys in 2020 against the Bengals. In 2021, he started for the Bears against the Bengals. 2022, started for the Saints against Cincinnati. In 2024, starting today for the Panthers. So he's been on four different squads, and every single time he's come back to face his old team with the Bengals.
Yeah, they asked him this week, what's it going to be like, Andy, facing your old team? He's like, I've kind of done this a lot already.
Yeah, it's the fourth time. It's interesting. I don't know. So I'm sure he's probably tired of answering those questions. But yeah, it's just gigantic, this game. I mean, if you can get off to a 3-1 start and 2-0 in division play, like I always say, the 2-for-1 games, that's so huge. And I think Halstead made this point, and I'll have to double check the schedule. But once you reach week 10, when you play the Falcons in the Superdome, that's the last NFC South game until week 18 against
the
Buccaneers.
Wild to think about, because that's completely opposite of what we've seen in the past.
It's so front-loaded. Like, you're playing five of your first 10 weeks are against NFC South opponents.
Right.
And then your final, your sixth NFC South game comes in week 18. So you have a chance to get off to a good start. I mean, 2-0 in the NFC South is big for one, but also not necessarily burying them, because it's still very early. And I would have said it more likely had they lost that game to the Eagles like they were supposed to, and you had a chance to drop them to 0-4. But 1-3 is still a pretty big hole that you have to dig yourself out of. So it's
especially division-wise, obviously.
Yeah, correct. But it's like the 2-for-1, so to speak, right? Where you can kind of catapult yourself to 3-1, and we'll, you know, hope that the Eagles can go to Tampa and take down the Buccaneers and drop them to 2-2. But then you're also dropping your rival, the team that everyone expected to just, you know, make the leap and win the NFC South this year, to 1-3 early on in the season. They should be 0-4 because the Eagles should have beat them, but whatever. But 1-3 is still a pretty big hole early on in the season.
Tyrann Mathieu also talked about rebounding after a loss, obviously how key that is.
You know, obviously this Sunday, man, like, doesn't take, you know, a lot to get up for this one. You know, it's the Falcons, it's a divisional game, and, you know, if we want to be a good team, we got to find a way to not lose two games in a row, you know, and just get back on the positive side.
He mentioned that right there, Charlie. Obviously so key. Good teams find a way not to lose two games in a row. So it's obviously stung that the Saints, you felt, could have extended their record to 3-0 in the season. Oh, well, boo-hoo, it's over with. We're on to week 4. And now you just got to make sure you don't get to 2-2, obviously.
Right. And that's why, you know, I'll put a lot of pressure on the defense, because it doesn't feel like the Falcons' offense is clicking right now. And I'll give you a couple numbers to back up that. Because, I mean, once again, as we mentioned, they got all the weapons. They got all the fancy toys with Pitts and, you know, Algier's not necessarily fancy. He's kind of an old style, like, downhill running back, like, punch in the mouth. But, like, Drake London. And now Darnell Mooney and Bijan Robinson, who Mike has said may be the next great NFC running back. But as far as the Falcons' offense, the one thing that's, you know, Deuce had pointed this out, and I used this for one of the Sunday morning reports, was that their third down offense has been bad, has been, like, legitimately terrible. They're 29th in the NFL in third down rate right now. I know it's 3 weeks, so it's not the biggest sample size in the world, but they're converting third downs at a 22.22%. 22%. So if you can get them into those favorable third down situations, once again, their offense isn't necessarily clicking right now. Scoring average, I mean, the Saints are giving up 14.7 points per game, which is top five in the NFL. The Falcons are scoring 16.3, which is 26th. So even with all these weapons and the new quarterback, I know they've gone against some good defenses. The Steelers have a fantastic defense. Like, the Chiefs have a pretty good defense, and when they want to be.
And like, when the refs help.
Yeah, and then the Eagles. So it's not like they've been playing scrubs or anything like that, but the Saints have a great defense too. Keep that unit bottled up. Don't let them get any confidence. I mean, if you're talking about your third down percentage, if you get them to those situations, right, like, that's where you start to tee off. And if circling back around to my point about the defensive line, if they can get after Kirk Cousins and get into those third and longs, even like third and mediums, and then just go after them, like, put them on the ground, then you're going to be getting some drive-killing plays, you know. That's what.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What you're looking for.
Yeah, not having a mobile quarterback to deal with this week is a nice little lanyap for this defense going into the matchup, something you don't have to worry about. Obviously, you know, the Jalen Hurts matchup, everyone kept saying, you know, we're gonna have a spy on him, or, you know, who are you gonna have focused that's dedicated to stopping Jalen Hurts? It's not about that this week. We're not gonna have to see Kirk Cousins tucking and running, worrying about him scrambling for like 18-yard gains.
No, he can't move, Steve. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's a statue back there. So, granted, he knows that, and he's a veteran, he's a savvy guy, he's been in the league for 13 years. Like, there's nothing that
he can really pick you apart, though. Right.
He can definitely do that if you give him time to do it. Now, you know, the key that Bobby always talks about is getting pressure with the front four, right? Making it feel like a blitz without using a blitz. At the same time, you might have to bring a couple blitzes at points in this game to make sure you get him on the ground. But you got to be kind of careful with that because, as you mentioned, if you don't, that's when he can pick you apart. We got a text. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, read the text, Mark, on our Open Heart Jewelers talk-in text line here on First Take.
Before I get to that from Joe from Biloxi, one last point I wanted to make about the Falcons offense. Time of possession. They averaged 24 minutes of time of possession. And I know that, you know, once again, they've played some kind of rush-heavy teams with Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. But that goes back to my point about their third down efficiency being a reason why their offense has struggled. They're not staying on the field much, Steve. They're not like keeping these drives extended. For instance, the game that they won against the Eagles, it came off of a miracle, like, 45-second drive at the very end of the game. So,
right.
I mean,
they were able to close it out there in Philly, which was wild.
And that's what Kirk Cousins can do, by the way. He can do that. But at the same time, if you can keep that third down conversion rate like low, end drives early, boost your sack numbers, there's a couple things that are working in the Saints' favor here defensively versus the Falcons' offense, which is the matchup that we're all, you know, very highly anticipating heading into the season. As far as the NFC South goes, the Saints' defense was always going to be legit. And the Falcons' offense was expected to be legit. They just haven't gotten going just yet. They're like D'Orlando Ledbetter, once again, I'll reference him from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He basically said the defense is further along. The Falcons' defense is further along so far than the Atlanta offense, which is interesting because they kind of got their own mercenaries on the defensive side of the ball too, with like Matt Judon and Justin Simmons going out and getting these one-year deals and stuff like that, and making moves to add those guys at positions of need defensively. Their defense has been pretty solid this year. They're giving up 20.3 points per game, which is 13th in the NFL. So, as D said, the defense is a little bit further along than the offense. This is kind of the chance for the Saints defense to make sure that they don't get that, you know, kind of confidence going early on.
You mentioned about Justin Simmons, them acquiring him. Obviously, the Saints were in the mix to try and land that free agent.
Yeah.
Ended up choosing the ATL, and they've got a heck of a pairing over there at that safety spot. And
yes, they do.
Derek Carr was asked about how good are these Falcons safeties.
They're unbelievable. I played both of them for years now. You know, Jesse's a great player. Like you saw last year, he left the middle of the field and went and picked off a choice route on the other side of the field. You know, and you know he has that ability and he has that talent. And so you have to be ready for that, have a plan for that. And then Justin, I've played for years in Denver. You know, and he knows how I feel about him. I think the world of him, not only as a player, but more importantly as a person. You know, I think he's, you know, if you're a kid and you want to, you want to learn how to play safety, and you want to root for two guys, I'd root for those two guys because they're great people. You know, we played, you know, Jesse in the playoffs, and after the game, I come out and he's sitting there talking to my kids for 10 minutes. You know, he just, that's the type of people they are. And then you watch them and the type of players that they are, just outstanding talents, but even better people.
Derek Carr there talking about Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons, that safety duo in that Falcone secondary.
They're nasty, Steve, for sure, 100%. But, you know, maybe the defensive line for the Falcons is not, at least the interior of the defensive line. And I don't want to take away from guys like
Grady. Do we have to worry about a David Onyemata revenge game today?
Yeah, Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata, like, they're good players. But what you saw last week from Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, it's not going to be that. So it's going to be a little bit easier on the interior of this offensive line. Now, they still got to get the job done, right, and open up holes in the rushing attack, make sure that, you know, they're not getting a ton of penetration up the middle, like exactly what you want to do against the Falcons without their center. But at the same time, it's not going to be as tough of a test because they're just not as talented as those two guys, if we're being honest. So,
yeah, I'm looking up the Falcons injury report. When you were talking about that defense, too, do you happen to recall the status of Matthew Judon? I know
he's
going to
go. He was a full participant. I don't know if he was full participant, but him and Bijan popped up on the injury report on Thursday, but neither one of them have like injury designations for this game. They were just both limited on that day.
Okay, yeah. I knew that the shoulder issue for Bijan wasn't considered really anything serious, but I wasn't sure with Judon on, I think it was a hamstring for him he ended up dealing with.
I think Judon's supposed to be good to go. There are two players that are really out, or as we mentioned, the center and the right tackle. So defensively, they're healthy.
Banged up O-line versus banged up O-line.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Once again, the test from the Falcons D-line won't be as significant as, especially the interior, right? I keep saying this because the Phillies edge rushers aren't necessarily impressive. They don't have a Matt Judon. But at the same time, the interior of their defensive line is so solid and stout and talented. That's not what the Falcons are going to be presenting you. Now, Judon is a potential game record himself. He's only a couple of years removed from basically a 15.5 sack season with New England. Now, he had injuries last year. He got moved on from in the offseason. He got traded to the Falcons in the offseason. So that was a position that they needed to fill. We thought that they were going to draft an edge rusher in the first round before they drafted Michael Penix, their QB of the future with the 8th overall pick. But, so they got Judon basically as like a mercenary. As I mentioned, I really wanted to – let's get to this text real quick.
Yeah.
14-13 said, morning, the Saints almost loses this game because of penalties. Penalties, okay. But Groupie pulls it out with a late winning field goal. Who dat? Joe from Biloxi.
I'll take it.
I'll take it too. Bobby always says this, there is no such thing as an ugly win. Just get out of Atlanta with a win, get to 3-1, right? Drop them to 1-3. You're 2-0 in the division. Once again, we'll keep hyping up this game because of how important it is. You're starting out 2-0 in the division and 3-1 just in the NFC in general. Like, you're feeling really, really good about yourselves, especially kind of heading into the stretch run that you're going to go on in a little bit here with Kansas City and Tampa Bay. That's looking a little bit ahead. Got to focus on this one today. And once again, 3-1. It just seems like there's an ocean of difference between 3-1 and 2-2, doesn't there?
Definitely sounds a lot better.
It sounds significantly better. And at the same time, for the Falcons, they're thinking the same thing. There's like a gigantic gap between 2-2 and 1-3. You got to go on a little bit of a winning streak just to get back to 500 versus if you're 2-2, you're there. So I know it's early on in the season, but we can't really emphasize enough how important this game is.
No, you're getting into another leg right now. Obviously, you started out, boom, first three games, you gone 2-1. Not a bad job at all. You would take that at the beginning of the year. Now looking at this next three-game stretch, you really got to go 2-1 again. You got two against divisional rivals today against Atlanta. Then after the Kansas City game Monday night, we got a matchup against Tampa Bay. So you got back – almost back-to-back, you know, NFC South opponents, like we've mentioned, is very top-heavy. You got to get to, you know, 3-0 in division would be so sweet, especially you don't have to start worrying about those tiebreakers at the end of the year, which gets so annoying. Like, well, if we do this against so-and-so and the Saints end up, you know, winning here and so-and-so loses there, then they have a chance at the one seed. No, just get your tiebreakers out the way, win the division, and boom, you're in the playoffs for sure.
We got from 6308, will Alvin play today? I have him on my fantasy football. Yes, he is expected to play, and I also have him on my fantasy football. I've been a very happy Alvin Kamara fantasy guy, so yes, he's going to be ready to go.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.